Glad that you're here today. We have some visitors. I want to add my word of welcome to you. We appreciate that you're with us, and I hope you can come back, join us tonight at 6 o'clock, and hope that time spent together will be beneficial to you and each one of us. We invite you to get a Bible, and hopefully you have a bulletin. We have the lesson outlined in it, and if you have any questions of what we teach or practice, we'd be happy to receive those questions. We hope that by doing that, we can all know God's will more clearly and more perfectly, that we might then obey Him in faith, in the faith that Shane just read about with us in 1 John chapter 5. We're going to talk about some here in just a moment. If you're not a Christian this morning, we want to encourage you to become a Christian. We want to see you saved in Jesus. God has sent His Son to die that you can be saved and you can live. So if you're not a Christian this morning, you know you should be one. We hope you'll obey Jesus. We want you to understand and know that unless in faith you obey His gospel and His way, you're lost. And we want to see you saved. God wants you to be saved. And so we want to help you every way we can to see that that's accomplished in your life. If you'll get your Bible and join with us, we're going to be talking about belief in Jesus Christ and the confession that is made and really some of what that means. I know that as parents with children growing up, one of the questions that you deal with is, well, when are they old enough to be a Christian? When is it that they really believe that they are ready to be baptized? I know that's a question for every parent who is interested in teaching the gospel to our children and helping them obey God and not just in that application, but also really for ourselves to examine what is the faith that I have. What did I confess when I said that I believe in Jesus Christ? What kind of faith should it be? We know very clearly that the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But again, what is the belief? What is it that we're to be believing? What is it, whether it's a young person or an old person? What kind of faith is it supposed to be? What kind of faith do you have? Do I have? What is our faith as we think about these things today? 1 John 5, we read together, says that in 10 and 11, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Of course, he goes on to say, this is the testimony, verse 11, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. So, part of the faith, the belief that we have in the Son of God, is that we have eternal life. But there are certainly some things about Jesus that enable us to have that confident testimony, have that assurance. He who says he does not believe God has made him a liar. That is, if one says, well, I can't really believe, I don't really know for sure, I don't have the testimony of eternal life as a Christian, then John says that makes God a liar, because God has given us a testimony concerning His Son, and that testimony is true, and in that testimony of the Son, we have eternal life. Life is in the Son. And yet, if I don't have the right faith in the Son, then any hope I have is false hope. Any confidence I hold is a false assurance. So I want to be able to know what I'm supposed to believe, why I should believe it, and then what I'm supposed to do with that belief. Really, isn't that really what it all boils down to? What do I believe? Why do I believe it? And what do I do with that belief? If you believe Jesus is the Christ, then what are you doing with that faith? What is that doing to you in your life? How's that helping you? How's that affecting you? Hopefully some of those things can be pondered this morning as we talk about faith in Jesus Christ. The Ethiopian, in Acts 8th chapter, learned about Jesus. Philip preached Jesus to him, and as they went on the way, they came to a certain water, and he said, well, here's water, what hinders me? What's preventing me from being baptized? And the evangelist Philip said, if you believe, you may. Now, some versions say if you believe with all your heart, you may. The New King James reads, verse 37, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So when there is not faith, then that prevents us from obedience and salvation, doesn't it? If I don't believe, if I don't have the right kind of belief, then no matter what I do, I'm lost. And that's important too, because a lot of people, you know, we can confess a belief, we can believe something about Jesus and it not be the right thing. There are people today who believe things about Jesus, but it's not the right thing because it's not the Bible thing. I hear political candidates say, I believe in Jesus Christ, but their theology denies it. I can get more specific if you want me to tell you who that is, if you haven't figured that out yet. People can say, I believe in Jesus, but that doesn't mean it's the right belief. And so we want to explore the Bible a little bit, find out what it is that we really believe and should believe in our lives about Jesus. Now, note the Ethiopian in his response affirmed a belief that was acceptable. Whatever he had learned about Jesus, it was the right thing to have a right faith so that he could do the right thing and be saved. And that's, of course, what God wants of every one of us. And we want what we want of you today, if you're not a Christian. If you've not been baptized into Jesus for the remission of your sins, then today we want you to have the right faith so that you will obey in faith and be saved by Jesus. So the fundamental question is, what is it I must believe about Jesus in order to be saved? What is this faith consist of? We're going to look at some of these things this morning in that respect. The Bible teaches that I must believe that Jesus is the Christ. Now, you know, Christ is not the last name and Jesus the first name. Like Joe Price, you know, Jesus Christ, first name, last name. That's not what Christ is. Christ means the anointed. The anointed. And so when we talk about Jesus Christ, we are affirming Jesus is the anointed one. He is the one God has anointed. God has selected. God has chosen and put in place in several respects. Acts 17:2 says, Paul, as his custom was, went into them, that is, into the synagogue of the Jews, and for three Sabbaths he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ. So here's the Christ that is read about in Old Testament Scriptures, the things that the prophets said about the Christ. And Paul is affirming that something, that one of the things the prophet said about the Christ is he would have to suffer. Isaiah 53, for instance. And then having established that the Scriptures say the Christ has to suffer, then he introduces Jesus to them and says, this Jesus of Nazareth, he's the Christ. He's the one that fulfills those prophecies about suffering. So you see, if I don't believe Jesus is the Christ, then I'm not believing the right thing about Jesus. If I just believe Jesus was a good moral man or a good moral teacher or a well-known philosopher or, you know, some such idea about Jesus, a lot of people have, that's not belief in Jesus that's going to save me from my sins or anyone else. See, Jesus, I must believe He is the Christ, that He is the promised Savior, that God promised a Savior to redeem sinners, and that Jesus is the fulfillment of that. In Luke, the second chapter, in verses 10 and 11, the angels, in proclaiming the birth of the Christ, said to the shepherds, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, that is, good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So know, please, that the Christ is the Savior. And He's also a Lord. He's going to be a ruler. We'll see that in just a moment. You see, so if I don't believe that the Christ is a Savior, then I don't believe the right thing about Jesus. If I don't think Jesus can save me where I am right now in my spiritual condition, that God sent Him, that God anointed Him, and said He's the one. He's the one by His death as a sheep led to the slaughter. If I don't believe that about Jesus, then I'll continue lost in my sins. This is part of the faith that we have and the faith we hold and the faith that will change the way we live, because we believe Jesus is the one who died so I could live. So I could live eternally with God. In Acts 3:26, the Apostle Peter said, "To you first," that is to the Jewish people, "to you first God, having raised up His servant Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." What must I believe about Jesus? When I believe He is the Christ, I believe that God sent Him. God sent Him to save me. To save me from my sins. Of course, that means I've got to understand I'm a sinner. That I'm lost without Jesus. And that lost in sin, He's the way I can be rescued. I can be delivered. I can be redeemed. He is the Christ. Now, He is the promised prophet. In that same text, in Acts 3:22-23, Moses said, Peter referring to this, said, "Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet unto you like unto me. And to him you shall hearken to whatever he says to you." You're to hear him in all things. "And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet will be utterly destroyed from among the people." When I say that I believe Jesus is the Christ, I am affirming that I believe He is the promised prophet that God has sent to speak God's will to the world and to me. Now, if I believe that, then I'm going to be listening to Jesus. What does God say? I studied about that. A comment was made about that this morning in our adult class. We need to say what that God's will says. Why? Because I believe Jesus is the promised prophet. He is the one God said I've got to listen to in everything. Now, do you believe in Jesus? Do we listen to Him in everything? Or are we offering Him lip service, but not in truth, the faith that is under the salvation of our souls? You see, if I say Jesus is the Christ, then I'm affirming that I know He's the one that speaks the will of God. And I'm going to listen to Him and obey Him. See, it means that I believe He's the promised King. He is the Lord. Remember Luke 2:11? The angel said this, "Born to you today in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, the King, the anointed ruler over the people of God, over the kingdom of God. I've set my king upon my holy hill Zion," God says, prophetically and fulfilled in Jesus, in that He raised Him from the dead. But He came to the world to be a king. John 18, he told Pilate that. He said, "To this end was I born." Pilate said, "Are you a king then? Are you a king?" You know, we've said this before, but I'll say it again because it fits. People like Jesus in a manger. They like baby Jesus, but they don't like King Jesus. They like a little baby, but what about the king? See, Jesus said, "I came into the world to be a king." Now, a king has authority over me. He has rule. He has power. He has dominion. He has honor and glory. All those things as a king. And when I say, I believe Jesus is the Christ, I'm saying I believe He's King. Not that He will be a king, or He could be a king, or He has been a king. He is King. He is the anointed ruler that God expects me to submit myself to obey Him in what I say, what I think, what I do in my life. That He has the power to free the bondage of sin. He has the power to save me. and teach me and rule me. John 18. Are you a king then? And Jesus said, you say rightly, I'm a king. For this cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. What is truth? Pilate said. Jesus confessed the good confession before Pilate. 1 Timothy 6:13. What he confessed was, he's the Lord, he's the King, he's the Anointed, he's the Christ. And it's that good confession now that's to shape and mold how we live. So when we talk about what is it I'm supposed to believe, I've got to believe these things about Jesus. If I don't, I don't have faith. And if I don't allow these things to shape and mold who I am, I'm not living by faith. How can I then have the testimony, the confidence of eternal life that God wants me to have and says I can have as a Christian back there in 1 John 5, our reading this morning? See, it's a practical result of how we live when we understand what it is we believe. Do we believe, I must believe Jesus is the Son of God. And I've got to believe that He's the Christ. He's the one God chose. He anointed Him to be Savior, to be prophet, to be King. And that He is the Son of God. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son. But what does that mean? You know, and of course, this is where a lot of false doctrine erupts. I'm trying to explain Son of God. Of course, the Bible explains it, and God wants us to affirm it, to understand it, to know it, and allow that to shape and mold what we believe about Jesus. When it says that Jesus is the Son of God, it's speaking to His divine nature. That He is not only fully human, born of a woman, born under the law, but He's the Son of God. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. So He is fully God and He's fully human. The fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2 and verse 9. The miracle of God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. So that the one that was conceived in Mary was the Holy One of God. We'll see that in just a moment. We'll look at that verse. But right now, look at Jesus' affirmation. See, here's what I've got to believe. If I believe in Jesus Christ, I must believe that He is the Son of God, that He is deity. John 8, 23 and 4, Jesus is talking to the Jews here on this occasion who said to them, I'm going away and you will seek me and will die in your sin. So He's talking about people who are lost. People who, right? And He said, you're going to die in your sin. Well, where I go, you cannot come. And the Jews said, well, will He kill Himself? What does He mean, where I go, you cannot come? And He answered and said, you are from beneath, and I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. Therefore, I said, you'll die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. If you don't believe I'm from above, you'll die. You'll be lost in your sins, and where I go, you can't come. Now, in the course of this discussion, verse 25 I intended to read. Look at verse 25. Then they said to Him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. So when someone says, who is Jesus? What am I supposed to believe about Jesus? I'm supposed to believe He's from above. That's believing He's the Son of God. Now, who are you? And He goes on to talk to him about those things. And in the course of the discussion, He tells them in verse 53, again, they say to Him, are you greater than our father Abraham, who's dead? The prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be? So Jesus, you're saying you're from above. You're saying that you're not of this world, and that you tell the truth, and that you're from the Father. Looking through all this context, He said, "Who are you making yourself out to be?" Well, He tells them in verse 58, "Before Abraham was, I am."
And they said, "Are you greater than Abraham? You're not even 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham?" He said, "Of course, Abraham was
I am."
What Jesus is saying is, I'm the eternally existing one. That's what I am means. The eternally existing one. From above. Not from this world.
Not human, strictly, like you are. I'm from above. I am God with you. Now, if we don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, if we don't believe He's deity,
from above, the I am, we'll die. We'll die in our sins. We'll be lost. And now,
when we accept that, when we know that, that will change everything about who we are.
Jesus said, "I and the Father are one."
They tried to kill Him. Tried to stone Him. And the reason they did was they said, "You're a man and you're making yourself to be God."
And as you read the text in there in John 10:30-38, He said, "I'm not blaspheming because I say I'm the Son of God." Okay, so to make Himself God in their minds was what He meant when He said, "I am the Son of God."
So there's no dispute. When Jesus said, "I am the Son of God," He was claiming the nature of God. He was claiming to be God Himself.
Except, and unless we believe that, we will die in our sins. There's a lot of people today who claim a faith in Jesus who do not believe He is God. They don't believe He's deity. But Jesus said, He is one with the Father. He is equal in nature with the Father. Look at John 5:17-18. Jesus said, or again it was said, He said in 17, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." And the Jews sought the more to kill Him, not only because He broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. By saying God is my Father, He claimed the nature of the Father. He claimed deity. Now, Jesus said, "I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father doing. And whatever He does, the Son does in like manner." He says, "I have the same work as the Father. I'm doing the same work as the Father, my Father gave me. The Father loves the Son and shows Himself all things that He Himself does. He shows Him, and He'll show Him greater works than these that you may believe, that you may marvel." So He says, "I have the same love as the Father and the same knowledge and evidence of the Father." Verse 21, "The Father raises the dead and gives life to them. Even so the Son gives life to whom He will." He has the same life that the Father has. 2 and 3, "The Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Therefore all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him." He says the Son is to receive the same honor that the Father receives.
When Jesus says, "I am the Son of God," He is claiming that we must honor Him as God, as deity. Not just as a man who died for me, but as God, who in the flesh gave His life for me. And that puts a whole new perspective on the death of Jesus. That He was a sinless man who was God with us, who was deity, who offered Himself voluntarily to die for sinners, so sinners could live with God. Jesus affirmed a full agreement between Himself and the Father.
He had been sent by the Father. You go back to John 5, pick it up in 24. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has eternal life," or everlasting life. So we've got to listen to the words of Jesus and believe in the one who sent Him to have everlasting life. I'm going to die in my sins unless I believe the Father sent Jesus. That He sent Him as His anointed to be a Savior, to be a prophet, to be King, to be God with us. God with us. So you see, and then of course, John 1:18 said Jesus came to reveal the Father. I would not know God. You would not know God except that Jesus has revealed God to us.
Oh, the Old Testament tells us a lot about God, teaches us about God. We learn a lot about the nature of God, but we don't have a full and complete picture of God until Jesus. Until Jesus.
In Jesus, there's a fullness of grace and truth. In Him, there is then the bringing together of the work of God, the love of God, the life of God, the judgment of God, the salvation of God. When I say I believe Jesus is the Son of God, I am affirming, I believe that this is God who became a man. And in His life on earth, He fully reveals God to me. And in His Word, He teaches me how I can obtain the life that only God can give me. But I've got to have faith then to respond to God. See, when I believe that about Jesus, it's going to change the way I live. It's going to change the way I live. Because it's not going to be a lip service that of what Jesus said. It's because I know that when Jesus said it, it's God who is saying it. And God's will for me. How to be saved. How to live. How to treat others. What to believe. What to hope for. What to really plan for. What's really valuable in life. All those things come from the Son of God. And it's because I believe Him to be the Son of God that I know that what He says about all those things is right. Cannot be wrong. You see, He's God. And that's the point. Philippians 2, 5-11. And we won't read all that text, but he affirms there that you see, when I say when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we're affirming He is God. He is deity. Look at, pick up the reading in verse 9, you know, after Jesus, it says the Christ who's in the form of God, he emptied Himself of that glory of deity. He didn't empty Himself of His deity, but of its glory. To become a man, to die on the cross, He humbled Himself in obedience, verse 8. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name that is above every name. That it, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. To confess that He is Lord, that He is the Anointed, that He is the very Son of God. This is our responsibility. Unless and until we do that, brethren, we're lost. Our friends, we're lost. He's God. So, and that's going to change everything about how we live. But you know, I must believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. This got my attention really this week on some things I was hearing and reading in the news and listening about what religious leaders were saying about this and that. Of course, this time of year, you hear such things. But we need to believe, the Bible teaches us that we must believe in the miraculous entrance of the Son of God into the world. Let's read Luke 1, 30-35. The angel Gabriel is speaking to Mary and assuring her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call His name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David." Now just pause there with me. In verse 32, the Son of the Highest is Son of God. There's His deity. And the throne of His father David, there's the Anointed One. There's the King, the Messiah, reigning over the people of God. He will reign over the house of Jacob, verse 33, forever. And of His kingdom there'll be no end. So these two verses constitute what we've already talked about this morning, that Jesus is the Anointed One, the Christ, and that He is the Son of God. But Mary is perplexed. How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God." I cannot believe Jesus is the Son of God unless I believe in the virgin birth. I cannot believe that He is the Son of God by rejecting that the virgin conceived and bore a child. And yet, you know, the virgin birth is widely rejected. See, I have to believe that that Holy One that is conceived in Mary is the Son of God. She did not know man, but she was pregnant and she gave birth, and that one to whom she gave birth is the Son of God. Fully deity, the power of the Most High overshadowing, and fully human, born of woman, you see. It's widely denied as a necessary faith to believe in the virgin birth. Reading the comment this week from the Archbishop of Canterbury. Now he's the head of the Queen, I guess, is the head of it, but the Anglican Church Archbishop of Canterbury said, among other things, he said that the virgin birth should not be a hurdle over which new Christians had to jump before they were accepted. He said, and what he's saying is, you don't have to believe in the virgin birth to be a Christian. It's not a hurdle you have to jump over before you can be accepted. Well, how foolish. How utterly ridiculous to say, I don't have to believe that the virgin conceived and bore the Son of God, when the Bible itself teaches it, affirms it. And without it, I deny the very nature of the Son. Furthermore, you see that verse, it says that what this means, what the virgin birth has to do with, is a belief in the power of God. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. It was the power of God at work. When I reject the virgin birth, I reject the power of God that brought the Savior into the world. Fulfillment of prophecy, Isaiah 7, verse 14. I cannot deny the virgin birth. When I deny the virgin birth, Jesus is only human. That's all He is. When I deny the virgin birth, He's just human. And not deity. Not divine. The human nature is established. Established Son of Man, but He's also Son of God, His divine nature. So when I say I believe in Jesus to be the Son of God, I'm affirming that I believe He came into this world miraculously, that He is God with us. He was born of the Virgin. I believe, and I must believe, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, Paul speaks of the gospel that they had heard, that they had believed, they stand fast in, and by which they are saved. And that applies to every one of us today. That He was, I delivered to you first of all that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The death of Jesus is fundamental to our faith. You see, now I have, when I say I believe in Jesus Christ, what my faith is now is that God has anointed Jesus to save me from my sins, to speak the Word of God to me, and to rule over my life. That He is God as well as man. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and He was miraculously brought into this world. Now, He dies for me. He dies for me. He didn't have to. I deserve to die for my sin. I'm under the penalty of death for my sin because I've transgressed God's will. Jesus didn't have to die for me. He chose to do that. He gives Himself as a sheep that's led to slaughter. He volunteers Himself to bear my sins in His body on the tree. To be beaten and scourged and put to death, so I could be healed of my sin. That's what I affirm when I say I believe in the death of Jesus. Is that what we believe? That's what we must believe. But see, when we believe that, it's
It's going to cause us to live in a certain way. It's going to cause us to obey Him, to love Him, to honor Him. And not just that He died, but He was buried and rose again. The burial is an affirmation that He was in fact dead.
He was put in the tomb 3 days, and then He arose from the dead.
By the resurrection, He was declared to be the Son of God with power, Romans 1 and verse 4. The resurrection shows the power of God over death. The cross is God's power over sin, because in it is the sacrifice that God will accept.
The sinless Son of God as a sacrifice for the sins of the world.
But if Jesus had stayed in the tomb, we'd have no hope, we'd have no life. Now He arose from the dead.
In that resurrection from the dead, this powerful demonstration of God's victory over sin and death is what enables you and me and the world to have eternal life in the Son. Look at with me, please, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Here's the familiar passage about confession. But I want you to see we've built up to all this to show what it is the Scripture says we're confessing. What the Ethiopian confessed. What you confessed. What people need to confess. And what, if you're not a Christian, you need to confess this morning. Verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Confess what? Confess He's the Christ. The Son of God. The Savior of the world. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In order to salvation. That's the same word that's used in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized unto the remission of your sins. We have to confess, believe unto righteousness, and we have to confess unto salvation, and then we have to be baptized unto the remission. See, I don't believe in the resurrected Christ. It's all said and done. I can say He's the Son of God. I can say He's the Christ. I can say I believe in the virgin birth, but if I reject the resurrection, then I'm still lost. I don't have the right faith. And I'll be dead in my sin. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he die, yet shall he live. The reality for all of us is we face death. We are born to die. We face death as a reality, every one of us. But if we believe in Jesus, if we believe He is the Christ, the Anointed, Savior, Prophet, and King, if we believe He is the very Son of God, Deity, God with us, if we believe He miraculously entered this world to be a sacrifice for me and the sins of the world, and God raised Him by His power, He can raise me by that same power out of my sin and death. If I believe on Him, though I die in the flesh, yet I will live. Life. That's the testimony we have. 1 John 5, 10 and 11. That's what's borne witness in the gospel. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. It is a life that endures eternally. Do you believe this? Jesus asked Martha, do you believe it? She said to Him, yes, Lord. I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Faith in Jesus. What do I believe? I believe He died for me. I believe God, by His power, that He was resurrected from the dead. And it's that same power by which we have confidence of never dying, even though this body is going to cease. We're going to pass from this existence into eternity. That's what God's calling upon us to believe. Every one of us in the whole world. What you see it's going to cause, and the final point to be made is, I've got to believe that He's the only one that can save me. It's not that Jesus is in a list of some others who could do the same thing. He's the only one, and none other is their salvation.
Acts 4:12.
Amen.
He's the only one.
No one comes to the Father except through me, he said, John 14:6. Why don't you look at John 6, please? John 6:68-69. Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the same confession that he made in Matthew 16. We have come to believe and know. We've come to believe because of the evidence of your words and your works. That's sustained throughout the Gospels. We know Jesus is the Christ because of what he taught and how he lived, what he did, his miracles and power. And we know it. We understand it. We accept it. We believe it. You have the words of eternal life. You're the Son of the living God. No one else can save us. Peter affirms. No one else can teach us. No one else can lead us. Not the false gods of men. Can't turn to the idols of men. The centuries and millennia that men have built idols, formed them, molded them, shaped them, fell down before them. And then somebody else comes along and destroys those gods and builds their own pantheon. And it all happens again. All of the false gods, the invention of men, they'll never save the lost. False Christs of men will not save. When people say, I believe Jesus is the Christ, but they teach error about His nature, His deity, His divinity, those false Christs will not save. First century, there are people that say Jesus just seemed to appear in the flesh, that He really wasn't in the flesh. 1 John 4. They were teaching error about the nature of Jesus in the first century. That was false. They would not be saved by those errors. But only the Son of the living God, truly the one who is the Son of God, He's the one that can save. Philosophies of men are futile. They will not save. The wisdom of men will not save the lost. You can't go to men today and believe in them and have any hope of salvation. You can't save yourself. You don't have that power, and I don't have that power. We can't save ourselves. You can't save me. I can't go to you to save me, and you can't come to me to save you. Only Jesus. He is the one with the power, with the authority to save. 1 John 5:13. Look at this verse, and there's some others that have similar wording. Some have read, in fact, already this morning. I want you to now point it out to you in 1 John 5:13 is from the Son of God. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. What does that mean, believe in the name of the Son of God? That you believe in the power of the Son of God. His power as the Christ. His power as indeed the Son of God, His authority, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. He's not just saying, believe in the name of Jesus. He's saying, you affirm His authority, His power, His rule, His sovereignty in your life, of the power of life that He gives you. That He is the only one who can say, all authority has been given to me, heaven and on earth. Go therefore and teach all nations. Teach them my power, my authority. I'm the Christ. I'm the Son of God who died, who was dead and buried and rose again. That's what we have to believe. And that's going to cause us to live in Jesus. Many other signs therefore did Jesus in the presence of His disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you may have life in His name. And so the question comes to each of us, what do we believe about Jesus? What do we believe? This is the testimony John wrote, chapter 5 of 1 John and 11, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Our confidence of life is in Jesus and only in Him. When we believe He is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, who died, was buried, and rose again, and lives. He lives today so that you and I can live. Live with Him now and live with Him forever. Obey Jesus. What's keeping you? What's keeping you from coming to Jesus? Meet Him at this moment in confessing your faith and repenting of your sins and being baptized in Christ. Let Him into your life. Let Him save you. Let Him add you to His church. If you believe in the Son of God, we urge you to obey Him now and be saved while we stand and sing.